This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on a Friday in KC. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Reminder, we'll head out to Arizona and check in with Josh Vergnier, Royals insider, coming up at 12:45. Hopefully you caught some of his hot stove show last night. Seth Lugo, Carter Jensen. Like, I was in the car, I caught part of the Carter Jensen interview yesterday, just talking about Salvador Perez and what Salvi's meant to kind of his development already, and just kind of soaking in and acknowledging the work ethic once again of Salvador Perez. And just like, you know, it's hard not to bust your ass when you see Salvador Perez, who already probably is headed in the Hall of Fame, is out here still getting up in the weight room at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. kind of stuff. So good conversation. If you missed it, check it out on the Odyssey app.
I was going to say, it's not usually a problem, but the Royals are too deep at catcher. Like Blake Mitchell's one of their top prospects. Carter Jensen's looked really good in the minors. It's usually a good problem.
Yeah,
one
of them might end up being part of a necessary package to get him over the hump at some point. Now, unfortunately, what's his name is hurt now with hammock bone. Blake Mitchell.
The hammock bone's always a scary one because it takes a while to get that power back.
Luckily, though, he's so early. Like, he's not. Yeah, he wasn't close to coming up. So, you know, you've got some time to get that thing taken care of, obviously. All right, so let's talk about Travis Kelce. Now that we know it's all but 100% confirmed by the team, I mean, it's like 99% now.
Mahomes was tweeting about it. He's obviously
Travis Kelce on the New Heights channel yesterday. They put out a funny social media clip of like, I'm not effing leaving, right? And they said in the next episode, next Wednesday, he'll actually address it. So he's coming back. So what do we expect? Like, all right, he's back. And it sounds like it's going to be the $19 million cap hit, too. So maybe that changes your answer a little bit.
That was the last thing Brad Veach told us, yeah.
This past season, what did he bring to the table? Well, he had 133 targets, 97 catches, 823 yards, and 3 touchdowns played in 16. He played in every game because they all rested, as we know, in game 17. The target rate, let's just start there. There is no way. Something once again went terribly wrong, in my opinion, meaning Rice.
That's his normal target rate in his career, but yeah, we both agree that it would have been more Rice.
Yeah, I mean, the year before he had 121 targets. 133 is nowhere where I want those targets to be next year and where we should expect them. If Rice is only going to miss what we think is the suspension length and he's healthy and Worthy's healthy, whether they bring Hollywood Brown back or not, I just don't think the target should be anywhere near 130. Now, can he still have 115 targets? Yeah, absolutely. 110 targets. But I think we'll see a huge dip in targets next year for Travis Kelce.
I'm kind of assuming a lot of the same. When I go through, and if you made me like right now, February 28th, predict the official stat line for Travis Kelce, I think that the 823 yards, that he was a victim of their offensive woes this year, as in, nobody threw the ball with less distance in the entire league than the Chiefs. And the addition of Rashee Rice coming back to the offense at some point next year and Xavier Worthy's emergence late in the year, I think Travis Kelce gets 1,000 yards again. And I know that that's bullish, and I know that that comes from a background.
Yeah.
I think he's probably around 95 catches and 1,000 yards is my actual expectation. Now, I'll say, even at $19 million, the people who are trying to pretend like Travis Kelce still didn't bring value to your team are stupid, in my opinion. It's more on the national level that I see that. He was still fifth in yards and third in catches and every other statistical measure other than yards per reception that were down for the first time ever. He was still one of the 5 best tight ends in the entire NFL. He obviously brings value to your team. He brings value to your offense, and I think it's kind of delusional to assume otherwise. I think he might be a 1,000-yard guy again. But that's mostly because I think Rashee Rice won't be, because he can. I think Travis Kelce probably will fade down a little bit once I think Rice comes back from suspension. Yeah. So, no, I don't think they have 3,000-yard guys. I don't think it's Rice gets 1,000, Worthy gets 1,000, Kelce gets 1,000. I think Rice will finish below that because of the suspension. Worthy will finish close to that, and so will Travis Kelce.
So I think he's still going to help this team, no doubt. Anybody acting like he can't help them, that'd be foolish. And he wouldn't come back if he didn't truly think he can help this team. I truly believe that. You're way more optimistic than me on the yardage, though, I'll be honest. Like that seems a little high to me.
What's the number you would go with on the yardage?
Yeah, I
higher
think
than 823?
No, I think it's in that 750 to 850 range.
You think it's continuing the slide?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what you're saying, I get what you're saying. You think the yards per catch are going to go back up. But for to get to 1,000 yards, if we just base it off of last year's, he would need 117 catches to get to 1,000 yards at that same average.
But I think he'll be way above that, obviously.
But even if it gets to 10.5, he needs 95 catches. You know?
I think 95 is the number. That's his career average.
Right, but yes, but this goes back to the running kind of joke you and I have had with each other for 3 or 4 years, the never aging thing. Saying that, like, that's what he's done his whole career is still not
is
ignoring, though, what is now the reality and why we were even talking about retirement as and the fact that he's going to be 36 next year.
But
saying a 36-year-old is going to have 800 yards is not being a hater, by the way. You've always been way more optimistic,
sure,
obviously, about Travis Kelce overall from a, like, you're never going to age kind of thing. We've joked about that. I think that is if Worthy is healthy, if Rice only gets the 5-6 game, whatever it is, suspension, this offense, their third option, having 95 catches for 1,000 would be really surprising. Because you would agree he's the third option next year?
Yes. But I also, ooh.
Or no. Okay, you think.
Second.
I think he's third.
I think he'll be second in targets by the time.
Well,
the
there's our difference right there
and,
on the yardage.
And here's the truth is that, like part of my defense, I guess, in this is, it's not like sometimes when we discuss like what people perform in this, Travis Kelce averaged 10.5 yards a year ago. Like, it's not ancient history for me to go back and be like, he could have been 1,000 yards, but he could have been 1,000-yard wide receiver a year ago. And so, like, in my mind, like a calendar year ago, not
it'll
last
be two,
season.
It'll be 2 years by the time we get to the end of this next
but
year,
like,
though.
But that's, I understand by the time the season starts, it'll be a year and a half or whatever, probably since the end of the technical season.
Yeah.
It's not that far off for me. I can pretty easily, in my opinion, explain away why his yards are down versus just total yards. And that's because the offense operate in a different way. It's like, I view that differently. Like, let's say Hollywood Brown. I would never predict Hollywood Brown to be anything more than a 700-yard receiver. Yeah. It's been since 2021 since he was like a receiver that had more than that, right? More than a 700 yards or whatever in the NFL. We don't know if Hollywood Brown's going to be back. And that would obviously change maybe some of the perspective on Travis Kelce as well. I understand this, like, there's a lot of mouths to feed situation.
I just think it's an age thing too, man. Yeah. Honestly, like,
no,
it's just
part of it.
Like,
sure.
you're correct that what he's done, the reason why he's going to go down as the greatest tight end in NFL history, of course the numbers are insane, and I just
don't think I have to go that far back to have a 10.5 yards per catch, 1,000-yard season. That was a year, 2 years ago, season-wise.
We just disagree with, like, hey, all of a sudden how quickly it can happen when there's a huge difference, in my opinion, of being 33 in the NFL and being 36 in the NFL.
Was he 33 when he had? I mean, how old was he? Was he
33? His last over 1,000-yard season was 33. That's why I just said 30. The last time he had over 1,000 was 33.
I guess I'm chalking up 984 as like he was 34 because he could have had 1,000. But
fine.
Like, that feels like you're nitpicking, like, in the way that I would with about Hollywood Brown, and I don't think you loved that.
No, that was when you were nitpicking about Juju Smith-Schuster
Juju
2 years ago.
1,000 whatever
ago.
It was.
Yeah.
So, like, I think if you want to, like, it doesn't matter. I get your point.
Two years in the NFL is a long time. Two years age difference when you're in your mid-30s is a big difference, in my opinion. So we'll see. I think that there's the target share cannot be anywhere near what it was this year. It just cannot. That means things went wrong again at wide receiver injury-wise.
I'm really intrigued to see, because wasn't the report that he's going to be in the text message to McAfee, he basically was like, I'm going to be in better shape than I've been
He said he's going to try to be. I mean, there's a limit to that, you know,
sure,
when you're 36.
Sure, I wonder if
trust me.
You know, I think there's people who have even said, not that they've called him, like, fat or anything like that, but he doesn't look like the most in-shape individual when you just see him on the football field. Maybe, you know, if he loses, I don't know what he weighs, but if he loses a little bit of weight or gains in muscle or whatever,
they
he's
list
a little bit
him
stronger
at,
in general.
They list him at 6'5", 250. I have no idea what he actually is.
I wonder if he's going to look look faster. Where he's older, but or if he looks the same in terms of mobility.
I don't think he's ever going to look faster again. I'm kind of written that off.
I just mean in last year. I'm just talking about, because there were moments last year where people were like, man, he doesn't look like he's capable of making the same plays. Of course, we know that he made some really big plays, but
it's more like flashes, and I get that, right?
I wonder if he's going to look more agile.
Let me ask you this. I'm guessing your answer is yes because of where you have him yardage. Well, I don't know how the answer to this question wouldn't be yes if you think he's going to have 1,000. He had 2 100-yard receiving games last year. Do you think he has more than that?
That's a good question. I mean, 1,000, you only have to average 60 yards a game, so you don't have to be 1,000. I'd say, more, but not by way more. 2-3.
Okay.
I mean, that's probably
the number. He had one, including the postseason. He had one against Houston, right, when he had the huge game, and then he had one in the regular season, and that was the Tampa overtime game. He needed every bit of overtime. He had 100 yards on the nose.
I guess I'd be curious to know, like, in previous years, kind of where that ended up landing, 100-yard games per season. Because, obviously, he's had years where he had, like, 1,400 yards.
Sure,
that's a slightly different scenario. But the year before, when he had 984 yards, he had 3 100-yard games, including the postseason. So, not, like, drastically different. And let's go back to 2022, when he finished the season, the regular season. With 1,000 yards, he had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well, he had 1,300 yards that year. He had 1,300 yards.
I don't think he's getting 1,300 yards, so he can have 200 or 300-yard games, and we'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know, I also think that, like, and this goes to the same thing, I think he'll once again be the beneficiary, like he should have been this year, of no attention on him. No one's going to pay any attention to him week one next year if Rice and Worthy are on the field together. They're going to let Travis Kelce be more free than he's ever been. And, like, I don't know if that, like, I think that just leads to more yards per catch, more freelance plays, more things that work in his favor.
The pushback on that would be teams are leaving him more open because they also don't think he's the threat that he once was. And he'll have a chance to prove everybody wrong. And hopefully for his sake, he does in 2025. All right, we'll get to the trash of the day here in about 8 minutes or so, but let's talk about some Royals baseball. We've discussed how they've got different pieces trying to play left field. Well, that's because they're basically acknowledging there's a bit of an issue there in the outfield, not defensively, but in particular, what they're getting offensively out of both right field and Hunter Renfroe, and of course, left field with MJ Melendez. Where does this outfield rank in the American League, AL Central, all that? Well, it's the worst outfield in the American League Central, not even close, if you just look at some of the pieces, right, from a total package perspective. And it's the bottom half easily, if not
bottom 10, probably. Baseball.
I was going to say bottom 5, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
10's like a way of like not... not having a long argument about it.
Other than starting pitching regressing and a guy like Cole Reagan's getting hurt or something, outfield is the single biggest area of concern. It's why so many people wanted them. And again, I think the Royals tried, Anthony Santander and others, they wanted them to go out and get another outfield bat. And it didn't happen in the offseason. They are banking on Melendez swing change improving. They're banking on, if that doesn't improve, that Massey and or India are capable of playing left field to keep their stronger bat in the lineup. So they're already telling you how they feel, how they know that that is a problem. If this offense is to improve, they have to get more out of specifically left field, but honestly, even right field with Hunter Renfroe.
I got to be honest. The biggest problem they have is there's no, like, unless you're just like, hopeless optimist, there's no, like, we don't even have the, like, oh, the, like, it could happen this year, though. The, like, the normal optimism that comes with a young player. Every single offensive player that will play outfield has played offense for this team for, like, 3 years. Hunter Renfroe, MJ Melendez, Michael Massey. They've either been big leaguers, Velasquez, I don't care who you bring up. They have all been in the big leagues for Nick Prado multiple times over the course of long stretches of season. So unless they just have a breakout year for borderline no reason, okay? Like, right? Borderline just no reason. Just out of nowhere, they're just a capable, like, or an above average offensive big leaguer. They would do that. The bigger problem is now they're trying to find offense by sacrificing defense. I know they can have a good defensive outfield right now. They roll MJ Melendez out in left, Kyle Isbell in center, Renfroe and Wright, mixing and matching that. They'll be a good defensive outfield. I don't worry about that. But they're trying to find ways to get Michael Massey, who's playing left field today in AAA. Mikel Garcia is playing center field today for the Royals.
Now, it's spring training, so I'm trying to wonder if that's actually like a legit consideration. Is that a legit consideration, or, hey, it's spring training, why the hell not kind of thing?
You
know, I don't know.
Get your legs loose. Go get some time out there, Mikel. We're going to get you in the lineup.
Well, if you're Mikel, though, like, there's a real he could be the guy that's not the odd man out in terms of not being on the opening roster by any means, but in terms of playing time, you want to talk about someone that could see a huge dip in playing time this year.
Mikel, he stands to lose the most at the moment, depending on, because he's the only guy they're not asking to play left or right field right now, I guess, till today.
Maybe center. We'll see.
In which they're playing him center. It's the biggest, it's honestly the biggest weak point of their entire team. It applies to both the lineup and the outfield defense right now, because if it's a lineup, you're still banking on Massey hitting homers. Massey's never been a huge on base guy. We heard him yesterday say that, like, maybe some of that, like, minor league rehab stuff was teaching him the zone a little bit. Mm-hmm. So maybe the ABS system will help him a little bit. But he's never been a huge on base guy. There's limitations to Michael Massey's offensive game. He hits for a lot of power. He can, which is good, especially in a corner outfield position or third base or even second, depending on there. But it's like the outfield is like either you get defense or no offense. And the offensive upside is MJ Melendez just figures it out of nowhere. Kyle Isbell just turns into a completely different player
Isbell,
out of nowhere.
Out of all three in the outfield, the player that I know is just not changing offensively, I feel like, is Kyle Isbell.
Yeah.
Like Hunter Renfro showed some.
Why is he
some,
any more or less likely than MJ just because he changed his stance?
It's just because I think
Renfro's got the best chance, honestly.
Renfro showed flashes last year. Yeah. I guess the reason why I feel like Isbell off, because nobody ever thought Isbell was going to be a great offensive player. No disrespect to him. Like MJ Melendez had just always had a higher ceiling.
I don't know if he's because
he had 40 home runs in the minors at one point. Now we're at a point now where
that's a long, you were talking about a long time ago.
I don't care what happened.
The hell was that, 5 years ago?
At least four. Yeah, maybe five.
I mean, you know, you do run into a problem where, and yeah, I look, Isbell, he's a defensive player. He's supposed to be, he hits ninth for a reason or eighth for a reason, and that's fine. You know, like everybody's not the Dodgers. They're not going to have just some guy hitting ninth who's a 330 on base guy hitting ninth.
Right.
Royals aren't going to afford that. That's not where he's honestly, like, he's a limited offensive player, but I kind of like what Isbell does. He gets enough doubles and home runs
and
triples.
The defense is worth it. This is, if you were getting the kind of production you feel like you should be getting out of left field and right field, then Kyle Isbell in center field's not a problem at all, because the defense, you'll take it every single time with what he provides there. You can handle the bat if he's your ninth hitter. The problem is it stands out more when your left fielder's not getting you much offensively, and then right fielder had some spurts last year. That was it. Inconsistency, I guess, is the right way to phrase it.
I think you have to continue. Like, if I'm the Royals, I'm already pre-scouting the guys I think I might be available at the deadline in the outfield. Like, I'm already,
we'll have an opportunity,
I'm already
to do
working
that
on
to.
My list.
Would you be more willing to, because MJ obviously, you know, made some spectacular defensive plays last year. Is there,
yeah, he plays pretty good.
Let's say right field eventually turns into Jack Caglione. Are you okay with the defensive output from MJ, Isbell, and then you get the bat with Caglione? Are you okay with that outfield, or you still want the change at left field if MJ can't give you the at-bats that you're wanting?
I think there's a very good chance that the outfield next year looks completely different.
Yeah,
at least two of the spots.
I think it's a pretty good chance different left field or different right field.
Because I wonder if you're more willing to live with it, I guess, because MJ gives you that defensive output
Hunter Renfro,
if you get the bat at right field.
Hunter Renfro's not a long-term option anyway. This is kind of it this year for him in Kansas City. I think it's pretty clear based on the contract. Text line was alluding to this. Like, how much do we buy into the, you know, Vern mentioned he's lost like 20 pounds. Not Vern, Hunter Renfro. He's lost 20 pounds out there.
Look
so
good.
Maybe that helps him, you know. The injury he had last year was a foot injury. It wasn't like a muscle strain type of thing. Or like, you just couldn't stay. Didn't he have a foot injury?
He fell the ball off his foot.
Yeah, he broke a bone.
Well, they thought they broke his toe. Remember, then he didn't break his toe.
That's right.
So he still missed time. That was the case. Look, it just kind of depends. And it's always the same thing. It's like, okay, where's the next guy? Like, the next guy who could come up in the outfield out of the minor league system, still double A, Gavin Cross. And like, they haven't progressed him all that fast yet. It's like, it's just so funny to look at their top prospects. If you're just like, well, maybe they can find the answer there. Jack Caglione, who we are hoping can make a transition. I'm hoping can make a transition to right field, because I want Caglione and Vinny in the lineup together. Could just be Salvi. We can talk about that later next week, maybe. Then their number two prospect is a catcher, then Kudrna. Then you get to Gavin Cross. And then it takes a little while. All the other guys in their system who you would think outfield, they're lower in the levels. And so they're not quick to solving that problem. I think at some point they're probably going to throw cash at one of the outfield positions or hope a guy like Massey or India find a way to transition out there. Right now, Vern is saying Massey looks like the more natural left fielder out of there, and he's telling us that it keeps him healthier. I think they'll give it a real shot, I'll say, in the regular season. Because the one thing about like Mikel in center today or Massey in left is when he came on the show yesterday, he said, I don't know if they're actually going to let me do this.
I don't think they have the full answer yet. That's why they're doing this in spring training. Yeah. They want to see what options they have. Whatever they do on opening day doesn't mean it's the same thing they're going to be doing on June 1st. It'll be an ongoing discussion, is my guess, throughout much of the season. At least the early, you know, three months of the year will be, what are they getting out of MJ first and foremost offensively? And then that could also dictate, or hey, if Jonathan India is just having an unbelievable season at the plate, we got to keep that guy's bat in the order. Then we're going to play him at left field if we also think Massey's bat has to stay in there because he's playing so well. Or, you know, ideally you have a problem where Mikel's hitting and Massey's hitting and India's hitting and, you know, like, that's a good problem to have.
I don't think that's going to be the problem they run into.
No, no.
The last team just ran into that.
I wish that was the case. All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Something that if I would have told you, 6 years ago, you would have said, you're crazy. There's no way this thing is going away. There's no way they're going to shutter their business. You guys see the update? Skype has announced they are shutting down in May. Done forever in May.
Can't believe it took this long.
Dang.
Zoom, of course, just destroyed them during COVID.
They got bought when they were failing by Microsoft, yeah, so they just have Teams.
And you would have thought that Skype could have been. They could have transitioned into what Zoom is. They were first. First doesn't always mean you're the best and you last the longest. And Zoom, of course, has taken over the world when it comes to video conferencing. And yeah, Microsoft has Teams. It's just crazy. Skype, that was like, I remember in high school, in junior high, you know, that was first starting off.
10 years ahead of every other essentially video conferencing service, and you're the first one out of the game.
Skype is like Vine. It's like the PSP.
MySpace.
It was before its time. Where then you get to the point where somebody caught on, they made it a little bit better, and Skype just didn't have the resources, or they just,
because Skype was a bit. This was before FaceTime too, right?
Yeah,
way before FaceTime, like Skype, I had some family members that lived in other parts of the country. That was like that. I would do a video call on Skype. It was like that was a cool thing.
But now it's like, yeah, if I need a video, someone, I just use it on my phone. Yeah.
Right, right.
That's tough living. That's like being. It's like a little bit like being Blockbuster though. It's like, how didn't you acquire when you were the big dog on the street? How did you not get in the phone game or get in the? You know, like, you had the chances. You just decided to be antiquated technology where I had to have, like,
because Vine got taken over by, like, Snapchat and then TikTok. And
Vine just is gone, though.
Correct.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
But Vine was...
Skype's getting ready to be gone forever.
It was very much like what TikTok is. I mean, that was what Vine was. But obviously, TikTok is a... It's blown up more
PSP
than Vine
such
was.
A good pull because the Nintendo Switch is such a huge console. It's like, you had it. You had the handheld console. How'd you blow it?
Yeah.
You just didn't make a good enough.
I never had a PSP. I always thought those were cool, but I never had. You actually had it.
I saved up all my. I did chores and everything. Oh, yeah. I do not still have it, no. But I saved up all my money and I got a PSP, and that was the greatest thing because you could. It wasn't only games, you could also buy movies. You could watch a movie on there as well. It was very, very cool.
I am, but that's the other problem with the PSP is like, I'm never going to watch a movie on my PSP. I got a phone.
Oh, now, certainly.
If I'm going to watch a movie on a small screen, it might as well just be on my iPhone, you know? Like, it doesn't really matter.
Sure.
One day, I am going to just sell all my old Nintendo stuff. I have so much of it. Regular Nintendo, Super Nintendo, N64. I probably got like
some of the games will be worth something.
Some of them are. We looked them up, remember? My Super Nintendo ones. I got some, like, I got some valuable ones in there. I don't know about the regular ones. I haven't looked those up. But and one of these days, I'm just going to cave. My kid was, like, drawing a regular Mario the other day. I'm like, all right, we'll break out the new one. You want to see what new Mario looks like? Somebody did point out Switch 2 is coming out this year. Am I going to want
what's
that?
Switch, like, what's the better graphics? What's the deal?
It's always better graphics.
It's a better
That's
version.
The starter.
Oh, all right.
I thought they've already had different versions of the Switch, or has it always just been one?
No, they've only had the one.
Just the same.
It's been rumored forever that a Switch 2 is coming.
Maybe just different colors then or something, because I feel like I thought they'd have new...
Bigger screen, controllers, better kickstand, different ports.
Oh, boy. Nintendo needed some more money.
Better graphics.
Are they going to USB-C now? Is that what the... Or are they already there?
Switch 2 has a headphone jack.
Like, this is... Oh. I get it. Like, if I was a kid, I would want a Nintendo Switch. I just couldn't imagine now. Like, I barely play my Xbox. You know what I mean? I play my Xbox for college football and occasionally MLB The Show. That's it. I can't imagine. I just would never use the Switch.
My kid uses his Switch a lot. Is he going to ask for the 2? Do I need to just start saving up now? Thinking his August birthday Switch 2?
Maybe.
I think they got something. Like, PlayStation has something called the Backbone where you use your phone and you pop
your phone
two,
in
like
there.
Controller yes. things on the side, and you can play the PlayStation on your phone. Mm-hmm. Essentially,
but like, yeah, but like, yeah, they you can't do that on the Switch yet, but you can play it on like it plays on the TV. And stuff.
Well, the screen's big enough now, probably where it doesn't matter.
He plays it on the TV probably more than he plays it in his hand at this point.
Hmm. Oh, nice.
Like, we've got the basement TV. We just took it up there.
See, that's where I'm like, I guess then why not just play? Well, I guess that's Nintendo's. That the answer is Nintendo, because otherwise I'm like, well, I'd just play a normal console at that
point. But he takes it with him. You know,
in
like
the car.
Let's say we're gonna go to a dance contest this weekend, right? Or this summer, right? We, you know, we let him bring it there or whatever.
The concept of that has always been cool. Of I'm going to play a game at home, and then I can take it with me on the road, and I can pull up the same exact game that I was playing before. I just paused it, and I can go back in.
He also gets car sick if he looks at stuff in the car. So this poor kid's screwed in long road trips. I don't know how to help him. I tried to give him some Dramamine last time. Didn't exactly do the trick. I'm going to maybe get him some of those weird car sickness glasses and see if those help. Hmm. Have you seen those?
I haven't.
They're like four circles. Like on the side and on the front, they got like liquid in them. I don't know how they're supposed to work.
It's like, trick your brain or balance things out or something. Like
it's like changing where you're. I don't know. I got to try something for the kid. My daughter will look at an iPad in a long car. We don't let him have them unless it's a long car ride. But
that is the trash of the day. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. One report from our own Bob Fesco about who the Chiefs may not be looking at bringing back at a certain position. And we'll also talk a little bit more about how the Chiefs are approaching building the 2025 team and how different it is from everybody else in the league.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Coming up at 12:10, Matt Verderam, national NFL reporter for Sports Illustrated. He's in Indianapolis for the Combine. We'll check in with him. We'll discuss Trey Smith with him. We'll also probably ask him about something we're about to discuss, and also just some of the national stories out there, including Matthew Stafford. Perhaps a resolution on his future coming very, very soon. Is he going to stay in L.A.? Is he going to go to the Las Vegas Raiders?
Or the New York Giants?
Will he run into another former quarterback at a ski resort this weekend? We do not know, but Matt Verderam might. He's going to join us at 12:10 to let him know. So Bob Fesco, of course, from Fesco and Dusty, reported early in the week that the Chiefs are not expected to have much movement in the wide receiver market during free agency other than their attempt to re-sign Hollywood Brown. And when Brett Veach joined us on the show earlier in the week, he acknowledged that Hollywood Brown is someone they're very interested in bringing back. But the fact that in that report from Fesco, they are not expecting that much movement in the wide receiver market. If they're going to draft one, then that makes sense to me, right? Like if they're saying we're going to spend one of the top 100 picks on another wide receiver.
If we don't get Hollywood Brown?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to draft a wide receiver with one of their right now, six picks. Maybe they end up with more to begin with. But that makes sense to me. Like, I don't think they're going to be ultra aggressive free agency wise outside of Hollywood Brown in the wide receiver market, given right now what they're also spending on Trey Smith for that dollar amount now that we know. Like, I don't think that other than T. Higgins, if he ever became available, I don't think there's another receiver, honestly, that I'm all that interested in going and spending $30 million a year on. Like, I don't even want them to go trade for Deebo Samuel, Cody. So, like, I'm fine. I would bring back Hollywood Brown. I draft a receiver in the fourth or fifth round. And now that Kelsey's back, I'm good for 2025.
I think the only way it makes sense is that if your backup plan is drafting one high. Because otherwise, I'm like, okay, so you're willing to sign a wide receiver, but you're unwilling to do it unless it's only Hollywood Brown and no one else. Like, so you're obviously acknowledging what we all know. You think you need to be better at wide receiver, but you're telling me that can only be Hollywood Brown? I mean, there are a lot of other wide receivers available, and this is not meant to bag on him. What has he accomplished in the last, like, 3 years in the league, you know? Like, you're gung-ho on a guy.
Well, they loved him a year ago. That's why.
We
saw why they liked him.
You got another years of evidence that he did not produce, so it's not like, and I understand that part of that is for an injury reason, but that's part of the reason he didn't produce before.
I don't want 31-year-old Stephon Diggs, at $18 million a year.
I guess if it's the same price point, and I guess that would be the question I would have for you. If it's the same price point, I don't know why I'm not getting that out of that. The last 2 years for Hollywood Brown,
will be more expensive.
Since 2022, so like 3 years. I mean, not four years. 709, 574, 91 yards. Yes, he was hurt for part of those, so he would have performed it. And look, I would guess, like you, the Diggs is probably worth more money on the free agency market.
I guess that my response back to you would
be a 500-yard like, wide receiver. Why not just go out and get a different 500-yard receiver if Hollywood Brown's not available?
And I know you're going to say, well, there's a bunch of 500-yard receivers gold, but like out of the free agent ones, tell me who you want them to go sign then.
Just some aging guy. Keenan Allen. No difference to me than Hollywood
Brown. He's 33 years old, dude. I'm out.
It's 1 year. I'm not trying to get locked up to him for the rest of life.
He's 33. I'm good.
He's more productive at 33 than Hollywood Brown. Is it 28?
I understand. I don't want Keenan Allen at 33 years old, who was making $20 million a year last year. I'm good.
But again, I'm saying they're both 1 for 10 in this scenario.
Well, I don't know if that's
realistic. Keenan Allen's getting 20.
Well, I don't think he's getting 20.
He's getting 10.
I think because why? He's 33. I thought we were on the same page 2 weeks ago. They need to get younger and more explosive. 33-year-old wide receiver.
I'm still planning on getting younger and more explosive through the draft at wide receiver.
Okay.
Maybe not in the top 100 picks like I have there, but my plan would still include going the draft. I'm just going to look Keenan Allen, who is an aging wide receiver of almost no consequence. His year last year is better than any of the last 3 years from Hollywood Brown. So, like, I mean, even at his age, there's at least some level
saying
of production.
That, nobody's
he had
400
yards 2 years ago.
No, nobody's saying Keenan Allen didn't have a better career than Hollywood Brown. I'm not debating
I'm
that
saying
with
he's
you.
Better now.
What's the argument
that Hollywood Brown is better? Just out of curiosity. No,
33-year-old wide receiver is the argument. That's a huge part of the equation, though, man. Like,
but there's no statistical evidence other than age to support that Keenan Allen's not better today than Hollywood Brown.
We're just not going to agree on the age stuff today because, like, that goes back to the Travis Kelce conversation we had earlier in the hour. Like, I think it's a huge deal whether we're talking about 36-year-old Kelce, in this case, 33-year-old Allen. You're acting like because they did something 3 years ago at 30 that I shouldn't be worried what they are at 33 or 36.
No, but I'm saying last year, Keenan Allen's year is productive than any year Hollywood Brown has put on tape since 2021.
Yeah, Keenan Allen, 121 targets, had 744 yards. I'm good, man. I'm good. I don't need a 33-year-old wide receiver being brought in free agency.
What if it's? I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, let's find a slightly young. Godwin's too much. I need a younger wide receiver.
It's
never going to be Deontay Johnson. I'm never going to suggest him because that's also crazy. I understand your issue with the age, and I'm not trying to get an older wide receiver to go with it. But what I'm telling you is, like, they're saying Hollywood Brown. Well, he's 27. I don't like when age as youth is the only thing that excuses away performance. Hollywood Brown has not had a good career. He's never been a consistent performer at any level, at any age. It didn't matter when he was 24 or 28. So, like, I'm not, like, gung-ho, like, well, it's Hollywood Brown or no one in the free agency market. If the idea is
nobody else is interesting
better,
to me. I think Hollywood Brown fits in this offense very well. I do believe that. They thought that a year ago. I don't know why that changes.
He does fit okay.
Rashee Rice is their best all-around wide receiver that they have in the building. Xavier Worthy obviously is getting better and better as a route runner. I think we've seen what he can do. He's not just a gadgety guy. Very clearly, he's not just that. Hollywood Brown, they thought there was going to be some opportunities in this offense. He got hurt. The 3 weeks that he actually really played in the regular season, I think you saw, like, wow, this is what it could have been like. You even said that very phrase, I believe, after the first game, like, wow, so this is what they saw in Brown. I think they're very that's my reasoning for you. You're right. I'm not trying to tell you he's got a better. There's a bunch of guys that have had way better careers that are free agents than Hollywood Brown. I'm not trying to say that. I just think if you look, like, the available names on free agency, a combination of age, price, like, anybody else that's around the same age as him, even, like, if you're, like, Darius Slayton, 28 years old, I bet he's had better numbers recently with Hollywood Brown. I would just rather stick with Hollywood Brown in that same scenario. You know what I mean? Like, DeAndre Hopkins is another free agent. I don't want 33-year-old DeAndre Hopkins.
I don't want
32-year-old Brandon Cooks. You know, like, 28-year-old Deontay Johnson, no. I don't want him. So this is not just an age thing. I would, I don't know anybody that would choose 28-year-old Deontay Johnson over 27-year-old
Deontay's
Hollywood Brown.
Tough. He's a terrible example because obviously he's been running himself out of town.
I'm just naming literally the available name. I don't think it's a great free agency class.
It's not. There's truth to that. And I'm not here to argue the fact that there's not a good free agency class. I'm just like, maybe some of this is just like, there's no evidence to support that Hollywood Brown's going to be any good in this offense other than one good game, the first game he came to Kansas City. Like, there's no, like, it could work, and they did like him, but, like,
and the evidence on Keenan Allen is referencing, you know, when he was not 33 years old.
He had 1,200 yards last year when he was 32.
And he had some of the most targets, if not the most targets of that offense.
But here's the truth. I'm not asking to ever be that. This is, I think, the argument, I think, where we're split a little bit. In Kansas City, Hollywood Brown or Keenan Allen, or let's Darius Slayton, who's had a better career than
that was the guy I just gave.
Yeah, like, he's probably had, well, maybe not a better. He's had a similar career to Hollywood Brown. I don't know if it's better. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it's probably similar. Darius Slayton, right? Like, if he's available at the same price point, I'm just saying it can't be Hollywood Brown or bust. I'm not saying don't bring Hollywood Brown in under any circumstance. A one-year deal, I've told you, for the most part, 1 year, Hollywood Brown, fine. I'm just saying if that deal falls through, I don't see a massive difference between a one-year deal for Hollywood Brown and a one-year deal for Darius Slayton. They're not fundamentally all that different on paper. And we're talking about a fourth wide receiver, a fourth target option in the offense, behind Rashee Rice, behind Xavier Worthy, behind Travis Kelce. So, like, I don't think you have to be like, it's Hollywood Brown or nobody. I would be open to other veteran wide receivers just to make sure there's some depth there.
Just like yesterday or 2 days ago, you said I was taking things too literal. I think you're taking Fesco's report too literal. It says aren't expected to have much movement. It's not saying that, like, literally they will have to fill out the wide receiver room. So if Hollywood Brown is not back, just in terms of guys that are signed right now, it's what? Sky Moore, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice. That's only three guys. So between the draft and free agency, unless you think they're elevating Nico Remigio and he's just going to be part of the.
I know. But like, you know me, I'm not a guy who's on the practice squad for 3 years.
So I guess what I'm saying is, like, of course, like there will be some other veteran that they bring in. I don't know. I think the report, how I read it, is any of what you view as the top 5 or 10 free agents, if it's not, and Hollywood Brown is one of those at the wide receiver position this offseason.
Yeah, probably 5 or 6.
I don't think they would bring in another quote unquote top 10, top 5 wide receiver that's a free agent if it's not Brown. I think it'll be someone that, like, honestly, if you just go on SpellTrack, you're looking at the same list I am. I mean, we could go much further down the list or whatever on available free agent wide receivers.
I'm just
receivers,
saying it could be someone comparable like Slayton. Yeah, Diggs and Higgins and some of the guys who are going to make more money. They're not comparable to me. Some of the other guys are going to get 1 for 8 or whatever else Hollywood Brown's going to get. And yeah, I do want them to get younger wide receiver. I already think they've started to accomplish that. And I think that some of that comes at running back, not wide receiver, where they need to get younger.
I hope they
draft.
I want them to draft a running back. I'm with you, man.
It's incredibly
deep
at running back. There's no reason not to take one this year.
Yeah, Brett Veach told us early in the week that that's a really deep position.
They said that when they took Pacheco, they said they were going to find a starting running back in the 7th round that year. Remember?
I don't want them to wait till the 7th round this year. I'd like a fourth or fifth round pick at the latest for a running back.
You're interested in third, huh? Two thirds?
You could talk.
Not that first third. I'm not interested in that first
third. No, but a late third round pick / fourth round. I think that's fine. Of course, right, who's available? Don't reach, but if you told me they spent a third or fourth round pick on a running back, I would not be like, how dare they? I think that's an area that they can get explosive cheap. And they need more explosiveness there. That also solves this entire wide receiver conversation a little bit, too, and how trying to piece together this offense and where things are at.
We can talk about Brett Veach's plan, because that's part of what had happened. Like, the 417 is like, Cody's thinking short-term, gold long-term. No, we're both thinking short-term.
Yeah.
We're both talking about a one-year wide receiver. Yeah, we're objectively both talking short-term. Because if I was talking long-term, I would never even bring up a wide receiver who's aged 32. Like, and I get it. Like, there's some, like, here's the thing with Hollywood Brown that I guess from the short-term perspective. If he had 1,100 yards, I don't think he'd be back with Kansas City the following year. I don't think there's any scenario in which Hollywood Brown is here past 1 year more, right? Do you? If he gets the yardage, they're just going to go with Worthy and Rashee Rice, and they're going to let Hollywood Brown hit the free agency market, which is okay. You should do that in certain circumstances. This all goes back to like a little bit of the team building stuff. Wide receiver is fascinating because in the entire time Brett Veach has been the general manager, he has spent on wide receiver exactly once. Tyreek Hill, 3-year extension worth $54 million, is the only time he's given big money to a wide receiver. He only recently started using valuable draft picks to take a wide receiver, as in like a first-round pick. He's used a couple of seconds. Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, and Rashee Rice. 3, actually, to be specific. But it seems like there are questions I think you can ask about, like, is this the easiest way to go about it? Would you win just as much if you did it the more traditional way, as in you went after tackles for high-priced contracts or defensive linemen for high-priced or corners for high-priced contracts? Because to this point, the people they are paying are guard, center, safeties. Like, It's the grunt work, dudes. He's out here paying all the grunt work guys.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's if you were to go and survey, roster building across other, 31 other GMs, they're doing it differently, and the success has been there, so it's hard to just be like, oh my gosh, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not here to just be like,
I think
fire him.
What's
crazy
evident versus some other teams, the Chiefs have a general manager that's had a lot of success, obviously. They have a head coach that's going to be a Hall of Famer that might end up as the greatest coach of all time. I know after this past Super Bowl, people want to suddenly act like that's not possible, but I'm not convinced it's still not in the cards for him. And so you have a head coach that has, even though publicly he'll say, oh, Brett handles that, Andy Reid is heavily involved. and player personnel decisions. That's still the reality in my mind. And so when I see that they keep Trey Smith on a tag or a long-term deal, and I think this is a GM making sure he appeases the guy that ultimately is still above him, even though he's the head coach, right? Like, Andy Reid picked Brett Veach.
Yeah.
Brett Veach didn't pick Andy Reid. And Andy Reid answers to Clark Hunt, and that's it. And so I think when we think about why is their roster building look different? Because in their case, the head coach is way more involved. And it's worked. Again, it's worked.
But yeah, that's why. They went to three straight Super Bowls. I'm not here to tell you Brett Veach's system is terrible.
Yeah.
Just, I know that there's like this mix of like this, like corporate culture, this idea of like outside the box thinking. It can be good. But there's also like reasons why people invest what they invest. In baseball, we talk more about like hidden value, like the way the Royals found relievers before relievers cost
market
inefficiency
stuff.
So like to Brett Veach's defense, you can sign two cards for the price of one wide receiver. You can sign a guard and a center for the price of one wide receiver. I also told you why I would be interested in constantly looking at tight ends in the draft, because the value per is so much better. Like, for instance, a wide receiver two cost you $25 million a year now. Oh, what? Nah, I'll spend that money somewhere else. Wide receiver two? I'm going to the draft for that. We're turn and burn on the cheap end on that, maybe. And I think Brett Veach has adopted that. It just feels like it's a little too high. The fact that here are your high-priced players right now. Right tackle, left guard, right guard, center, 36-year-old tight end, kicker. Like these are all players who are in the top 10 highest paid on your team next year. That's crazy. That's a weird way to go
about it.
It works.
It has.
So like I can't just knock the whole system down, but it always goes back to like you and I talked about like the hindsight thing. Let's just say 3 years ago, instead of building it this way, the people you paid were free agent defensive ends and wide receivers. You'd paid Tyreek Hill instead. Would you have had less success? I mean, maybe you went to three straight Super Bowls, maybe. But maybe it would also just like work like it works for a lot of other teams to roster build that way. I'm fascinated by the way they do it. I wonder if some of it's just quarterbacks cost so much money that you build at the cheaper positions for more expensive positions and you just keep drafting. But to our point, those expensive positions, defensive end, wide receiver, those are really hard to find at pick 31. So wouldn't it be better to pay them? You can find guards at 31 all day. Like, there's just some reverse engineering that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, this is why, and someone on the text line asked us, like, what's the problem with the Chiefs cutting bait with Joe Tooney after this year that would go along with your age theory? Well, that's what I think they should do. Yeah, I don't believe they should give an extension to Joe Tooney now. Now that they're likely going to give one to Trey Smith, he's going to have the tag, but we both think they're eventually going to get a deal done with Trey Smith. So, yeah, I would take the massive cap hit this year for Joe Tooney. Just go ahead and eat that. Still get another really strong year out of Joe Tooney. And then after this season, then you make the tough decision and you let him walk. That time the Trey Smith number is bloated. And Juwan Taylor's number will be off the books after this year. And then you will Kingsley maybe is your left guard in 2026. We'll see what happens at left tackle this year, and then you'll still have to go find right tackle. Maybe that's Wanye. I don't know.
The only bad part of this plan is you might have to solve right and left tackle in the same year again, which is what you had to do after the Super Bowl, and that sucks.
Well,
that's a tough way to go about business.
Best case scenario is that if you believe that free agency is not an option really for left tackle, and if they are not trading up in the draft to get a left tackle,
I don't.
Your hope is that DJ Humphries, actually, as much as fans may not like it, DJ Humphries is your left tackle this year. He's 31. He's healthy. He looks average to slightly above average. Because, again, you don't need Hall of Fame level play at left tackle. It just needs to be average. That's all we're talking about. If he's 31, that means I think he's got two or three more years left. If he's healthy.
Probably, but so, not for you. Maybe for you, I guess.
2 years? That buys me 2 years while I go and solve right tackle for the next offseason. And then if it's a deep deep tackle draft, then I have my left tackle and we're good. Like
there's a way in which it works out that way, but we'll see.
It's tough and it takes some stuff going your way. I don't agree with the notion like the Chiefs are just screwed at left tackle for the next 5 years. And that's not the case.
I think
this offseason, though, they're not going to be able to have the definitive long-term answers.
No, it doesn't appear that way, even though you and I have been asking for that for years. I know that neither of us really particularly watched these, but I was kind of curious. A headline came out.
Okay.
So, as you know, last year, NFL Films did an off-season Hard Knocks. It was for the Giants. And we all thought that, like, NFL teams would probably just stop agreeing to do it because it made the Giants look real dumb. Like, it made their GM look stupid. Their kid look like a better GM than them. He's like, draft Jaden Daniels and keep Saquon Barkley. And I felt like if you did both of those things, you'd have been a much better football team than before. No NFL team agreed to do it this offseason. Do you know who they're going to follow around to instead? Who they convinced to do an offseason hard knocks? Bill Belichick and North Carolina Tar Heels.
I like this.
Drew, you're interested?
I'm very interested. I think having a college football version of this would be, it'll be interesting to follow. I think it'll be something that'll
Bill transition to college is interesting, at least.
It'll pull people in it'll pull general NFL fans, I think, into the North Carolina program in particular and Bill Belichick because they want to see how he transitions in. I think it puts some more eyes on college football, so I like it.
Is it, and it's just on the offseason?
This is the offseason.
I would be more interested in watching North Carolina behind the scenes in season if things go disastrous.
And I
want to watch the train wreck if that's how it ends up going. The offseason, everything's going to seem great. You know, Bill has no pressure yet. He hasn't had to coach a game. Nobody knows if he's going to fail or not.
Well, and obviously you have like the training camp. Like what is it? Because fall camp in football is sometimes a really big deal because you might have a quarterback competition. Other times,
it's a big deal this year for them.
Other times it's like we have our roster set. You know, like Missouri has a really big spring fall camp. Kansas, they got Jalen Daniels. Like their spring and fall is just getting ready to hopefully start the season on a better note.
I mean, you couldn't even convince one other NFL team to do it.
Aren't they required
for the offseason one?
Not for the offseason one. That's a voluntary. And it made, I'm not kidding. The reason why no one agreed, it made the Giants look so stupid. It made them look so dumb. Like just like idiots running. You're like, you run a football team? Are you crazy? How does this person even get hired? And so any other GM who's like on a sketchy team and they're like,
They've been filming Bill Belichick going to recruiting visits or probably, like talking about the portal. If this is an actual offseason series, then I would
I'll
assume
be honest. I'm on the show already, like for this topic. I don't have much interest in this.
That move the needle for you?
To watch Belichick off season at North Carolina. In season you maybe would have me. Off season behind the scenes. Not really, because I also think, like, while the film breakdown stuff he's been good at, he's not going to be breaking down film in the offseason. I think it's going to be boring. I think it's going to be really boring.
I think it's another, if you're again, it's different because Gold, you're obviously more of an NFL guy than a college guy. Bink would love this. I really like this.
But he would love a behind the scenes CFL thing too.
Parkville South football. He would watch
that might have been a bad example. But for me, like the SEC is doing the thing with Netflix where certain teams have opted out of it. I think Missouri actually is one of them who is not getting filmed, but they're doing the series. It gets you a little bit more of an in with college football, and I think that, you know, the college football fan can appreciate it because the NFL has been doing this for how long has Hard Knocks been around for the NFL?
Rex Ryan days and Todd Haley way before.
And I think
Herm Edwards, actually with the Chiefs was on Hard Knocks.
It's always tough because like coaches would obviously choose, GMs would choose to never do any of this stuff ever. But also the reason why you get to sign a $400 million deal, or if you're Ben Johnson, the reason why you get to be paid $20 million a year is because of interest in your sport. The NFL does these things because they want interest in their sport. NFL Films is going to shoot a college coach because they couldn't convince an NFL coach to do it. And Andy's never going to volunteer. I'll be very clear about that. And you have to, you know this, miss the playoffs to be forced. Miss the playoffs and not have a rookie head coach. Is that what the rules are? To be forced to do it? There's just like two rules. If you make the playoffs, they can't force you. And if you have a rookie head coach, they can't force you.
I think that's right.
And so, you know, that limits it to 5, 6, yeah. 7,
Someone
8
says
teams.
If they show his girlfriend and how they interact, maybe you'll watch. Maybe.
I'm sure that she's going to come up at some point in the film. For
her? Do you think that he calls her?
Gosh.
I'm just asking if there's a pet name.
No.
Because it would make me feel very uncomfortable if...
What do you think? What do you think he called? What do you think he calls her?
He called her Pookie or something. Yeah. I just want to die.
Gosh.
I'd wish for
he doesn't call her Pookie. No.
What do you think he calls her?
He calls her like kitten or I don't know something
kitten?
Along those lines.
Oh, that's 100%. Worse. 100%.
I know it is.
Oh, that one made my skin crawl. I hate that one so much.
I know it is.
Kitten.
I know. I know it sounds worse, Cody. That is what Bill Belichick calls his girlfriend.
You think Belichick say, "Come here, kitten"?
Yes.
Oh, I hate it. Anything but that. I'll turn off the TV immediately if I
you,
hear that.
No, it makes you cringe. Cody, it makes you cringe just like seeing them together on national television, just together. It makes you cringe a little bit.
Yeah,
anyways.
It already makes me uncomfortable. That relationship already makes me uncomfortable. If he was on camera calling her kitten, that's it for
me. I don't think the name would matter, Cody. It would make us all cringe. Like, really? I don't know.
Just like a classic one. Like if you said honey, that wouldn't seem like totally out of line, would it?
Oh, okay.
No, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. That's not even.
Like, yeah. It's got to be something.
I really don't even count that as like a.
I mean, it's technically a pet name. It's not quite. Yeah.
Do you think he more likely calls her honey or darling?
Darling, how old? I mean, he is pretty.
Darling's very like 19. Like,
just came back from the war. Years old.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is 70 plus years old. I'm telling you, he might call her darling. I don't know.
Darling. Come here, darling.
No, exactly.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll see how the show goes. Look, I'm sure the trailer will come out. Maybe it'll get me hooked at that point in time. But off-season Hard Knocks, Bill Belichick, North Carolina, just on the surface doesn't really do it for me. We'll see.
I didn't know Drew said it. Yeah, that one's really bad. That one's maybe the worst one out of any pet name that's available. Like, I don't that one makes me the most uncomfortable. We'll see. I just want to let you know that's
a good recruiting
available.
Tool for him. That's why it's great for North
Carolina.
Why
do they agree? NFL Films going to follow you?
Yeah, it's good exposure for pro. We're still deep down. We're talking about North Carolina football. This isn't, you know, Auburn, or I mean, this isn't Alabama or
agreed.
Or you know, Ohio State. You know,
100%.
You need the exposure.
What is their expectation this year? Do we already have win totals out too early for college football?
Win totals are out for, they were out for the Big 12, I think, a couple weeks ago. I'll look during the break.
I was just curious. I didn't know what the large.
Some of them are out, but I don't know exactly. I think it's as the schedules come out, which now the ACC schedule is out. So
Their win total at FanDuel over under 7.5.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think it's a solid bowl game.
How many wins does North Carolina football get every year?
A really good year, 9 or 10, but they don't eclipse that typically.
What's the standard here? 6 or 7, like bowl eligible, or are they like bowl out eligible, of the bowl games a lot?
They're very much a poor man's K-State, I think, where typically they're 6 to 8 wins on a regular basis. Yeah. Solid season.
I just looked it up. 6, 8, 9, 6, 8, 7. Then they had a 2 and a 3, will have been 8, 11, 6, 7, 8. They're like, yeah.
They're K-State of the ACC.
913-586-7965.
K-State's not going to like that comment.
Sorry about that, Wildcats fans.
You can text into Drew. Also, keep texting your Belichick nicknames for his girlfriend, I guess, because some of them we cannot read on air.
No.
Someone says she calls him Life Alert. Oh, boy. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. And then Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated's in Indianapolis. We'll talk to him about Trey Smith. And what else is he hearing on the rumor front in the NFL?